This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. Hello and welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with the other woman on Soho Radio. I'm Hattie Ashdown and we're back with our full-length show, which means more great guests, longer laughs and embarrassing stories to make you spit out your tea on your tit while feeding the baby or just at a passerby. Joining me, of course, is your favourite tea-loving, soft play-hating Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
Do you hate soft play? I feel like I wrote that and I was like,
yeah, okay, I don't ever remember revealing that secret, but yeah.
I've just gone into your psyche. We've got a very special guest today on the panel. So to kick us off, we're very excited to be joined by a blogger, social media wonder with over 500,000 followers on Instagram. She parodies celebrities' very unattainable body images, keeps it bloody real on parenting and being a woman in the 21st century. Author of Knee Deep in Life, co-hosts the podcast No Holds Barred with Vic Eames, which we've had on previously. It's only flipping Laura Belbin. Yay! Is that right?
Now, when you talk me up like that, I'm like, that sounds amazing. Like when I go to the chemist and get my thrush cream, can someone introduce me that way? Like the blogger, the author, that is Laura Belbin, Knee Deep in Life, No Holds Barred. Yay! Just going to walk in and be like, can someone give me some
chemistry? You can play that recording if you want. Just press play.
I might have like a little dictaphone next to me. Just play it.
Oh, and my delivery, I think it might be my casserole dish I ordered, has just come to the top. I was going to say, you said earlier, off air, we'll call it, that you have a lot of social anxiety, which sort of obviously shocks us, seeing though what you do for a living, as it were. So do you think that's why all the verbal diarrhea comes out? Because it's like,
I am a professional verbal diarrhea. Horrendous.
Are you scared of the silence, Laura?
I don't like silence. Yeah, another thing I'm working on. I fear silence because it's just awkward. It's painful. You know, it has to be filled with something, even if it's a fart. It just has to be filled with something.
I'm so the same. Like I walked back with a friend of mine and I was really tired from school yesterday and I just thought, I've got really nothing to say, but I kept trying to think of something to say, and I was like, do you know what, it's fine just to walk along silent. She's not saying anything. She feels comfortable enough to walk with me in silence with the kids, but I just keep thinking, say something, and it's ridiculous.
Are you friends lovers, you two? Do you enjoy dabble in friends? You know that episode with Ross where I can't remember who the hot actress is, and he's like, just say something, say anything, and then he says, I've not had sex in a really long time. That's me. But that's just constantly in my head, just say anything, and then I'll be like, I had really bad diarrhea yesterday, and I'll be in amongst a load of people that I've never met before in my life, and they're like, nobody asked. And that is why I don't make friends easily.
but thank the Lord you're like that, because that's, you know, obviously what's made you big, really, because you're honest. And, you know, that's what we do need, more of that, which brings us on to, well, we wanted to have you for a long time on the podcast, but particularly a post pinged up that I was talking to Gemma about, and it made me go, right, we've got to get her on because I can't believe this is even an issue. So I think I'm going to call this episode probably We Love Our Kids, But... And if I said that sentence to you, Laura, what would you complete that sentence with? I love my kids, but...
I'm not allowed to say swear words, so...
Sugar and
fudge. Yeah, they're real sugaring fudges a lot of the time.
Well, you put a post up about, you know, being relieved that they're going back to school a little while ago, which, you know, let's be honest, it was like, I don't know about you, but I was like, no, because there was rumours that they were going to, you know, when we had the lockdown, that in the summer holidays, they might do some extra school stuff and go to school. That didn't happen.
That's a good point.
That didn't happen. And I don't know about you, but like, I've been on and off antidepressants for the last couple of years. And I was like, yeah, I think I need to get me some more to get through this school holidays. And so when you put up the post and saying, oh, you know, I love them, but I'm relieved they're going back. And I can't believe you then followed it up with a post, but that people would even dare disagree that anyone would feel any different. You said you got some backlash of people saying, oh, I feel sorry for your kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a daily occurrence for me anyway, because I am a woman who dares to do a lot of things that maybe other women who have children won't do. So that is just part and parcel of my job, you know, that I do take that flack. And that is one thing that I've had to work really hard on, of being like, okay, all right, Karen, you know. Poor old Karen, she really does get a bad rep, but, you know, unfortunately, Susan, Patricia, you know, Margaret, they all have a very stereotypical attitude towards just general things of it being, you know, not acceptable to say anything other than you love your children and that you keep your house clean and that you fold your clothes and you iron them and you do all of the stuff that, you know, you're meant to do because you're a woman. And I kind of push against all of that. And so being a bad mum is just a label that I get given frequently because I just say exactly what most people are thinking.
So My question to you, Laura, then, is why do you think Susan, Patricia, Margaret are following you then? Like, it's obvious what you do and what you bring to
your brand,
Instagram.
That is a whole other episode, I do believe, in the psychology behind somebody that would watch, listen and absorb stuff they don't like.
Yeah.
They are troubled people. And I used to really take, I remember once somebody saying, it was on Facebook, because that's where it all kicked off for me, was my blog on Facebook. It went viral. And then my Instagram account kind of followed slower, I guess, because people didn't realize I was on Instagram. And to be honest with you, ignorantly, I didn't know Instagram was that much of a big deal. That's how little I know about what I'm doing. I didn't actually know it was that much of a big deal. Anyway, so they said, you look dead behind the eyes, as in, like, you're smiling, but you just look dead behind the eyes. This was ages ago. And I acted like it didn't bother me, but it bothered me because I just thought, how can you surmise that I look dead behind the eyes when you've never even had one single conversation with me, and yet you've surmised, oh, my, someone's on their way to a breakdown. I mean, don't get me wrong, 2 years later I did have a breakdown, but I don't believe I was dead behind the eyes back then. I think I was dead behind the eyes post-COVID, like everybody was. And those kind of comments, those kinds of people, they're there because they're desperate to evoke a reaction. And sometimes you've just got to understand that you have to, you're not a coward for removing yourself from that space. You're actually braver and stronger for going, I don't need to respond, justify, or even, like, give you space to explain. And yet there are some things that make me go, no, do not call me a bad mum, because there are many things I might be, but a bad mum is not one of them. And I do know that. I do know that I'm an exceptional mum, because I just am.
Yes.
I hate my kids. They annoy the hell out of me. Sometimes I pick them up from school and I can't wait for them to go to bed. But I'd like to think that's a lot of mums. That's a lot of mums.
But why are they so scared of, they're scared of admitting it, I guess, because they think it makes you look like a bad mum or that you don't love them. But I was saying to Gemma earlier, to me, it just comes back to the thing, as human beings, we are not meant to be with anyone 24/7. So it's all right to not, you know, want to be around your kids all the time. And, you know, and I do have friends that do post stuff, it's like, oh, they're going back to school, I'm going to miss them. And to be honest, they are the people that do have really good kids. I'm like,
well, one of those.
I know. And they are good kids. That's the thing. I have crazy feral kids like you. I went round my sister's at the weekend and she had four kids, right? Four of them.
She gave birth to four children.
Yes. And she said to me, I'll take my two boys around. And then she went, oh, I do feel sorry for you.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it kind of makes you feel better because you're like, yes, this is what I've been talking about.
Yeah. Validate my feelings.
Yeah. Oh dear. So you're in this crazy world where, you know, you're speaking your truth, as they say on reality shows, and you're being real and everything. But I mean, is this where you thought it would go, or did you ever have any plans? It started with the blog. That's right. Do you still do the blog?
Well, this is the hilarious thing. I've never had a blog.
Ah.
I call it a blog, but my blog is what I have is knee deep in life on Instagram and on Facebook.
Right.
So that's what I thought it was called.
That is a blog.
An account. I don't know. A page.
I mean, you write a whole. Well, in the old days, would be column, really.
In the olden days, back when you used to get
print media.
Yeah. So I just used to like ramble and talk about stuff. And before I had set Knee Deep up on Facebook, somebody had said to me, oh, you know, like what you post on your personal account is really funny. So I used to do like the silly side by sides and stuff like that, or some exercise videos for Steve and I, which we can't do anymore because Steve's back is done now. Like he has to go to the chiropractor all the time because he's picked me up too many times.
And really?
Yeah, he has something called a hot disc, which is a perforated disc in his back because I clearly am a little bit too heavy for him to be swinging around the room. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to do any of that. And I set it up on Facebook. And then I think it was like a year later, I set it up on Instagram. I then didn't know that I was meant to post the same thing on Instagram as I was Facebook. Like literally, when I say I'm the most ill-equipped, inexperienced person to do this stuff, I'm not kidding. I didn't know that there were ways to make your accounts grow and stuff like that. Yeah. And then I got stuck in a pair of Spanx and that was it. I uploaded it and, you know, I didn't know about the fact that you should upload things at certain times for better engagement and all of that.
Yeah.
Rubbish. I didn't know about any of that. So I just uploaded it and it just went mental. And that was it, really. And I just carried on doing what I was doing. But no, I never anticipated anybody listening to me that much or caring about what I was saying or caring about the fact that I cut my hair. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't think anybody would care, I guess, because why would they? And, you know, like, that's how little self-worth I think I had. I didn't realise how important my voice was.
It's bizarre though, isn't it, Laura? It's a bizarre thing. So you've gone from posting stuff on your personal Facebook account, as a lot of people do, to then kind of becoming a personality that people tune in to listen to. Like it's such a strange phenomenon.
Yes. Isn't it? Yeah. And for some people, they've got their, you know, they've got a business plan, they've got a file facts. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and
they
the marketing person and all, I pointed out to Hattie that you've got 500,000 followers. That's huge in Instagram terms, you know. I mean, when I compare it to, I watch all the reality crap, you know, so I look and see how many followers they've got, what have you. If I say to you, influencer, how do you feel about that word? She goes, okay, heaving.
I don't like it. I don't like it because it represents something that I'm not, even though I am. I understand that. Like, I shared a small business yesterday that sell the nicest brownies in the entire world that get sent through the post. I spent £22 getting more of them sent to me and I've nearly eaten all of it. Mm. And they sold out. So I get that I influence people.
Wow.
Yeah. I influence people with my words. And that's powerful. And I'm so proud of that. But the word influencer, everybody has. Sorry, my voice went then. Everybody
not
has
really upset.
I'm just like so touched by that. Everybody has a really negative idea of what an influencer is.
Yeah,
it's that. You know, there's so many swear words to think of, but it's that individual that sells the water bottle just because they can make 40 grand from selling the water bottle.
Even though they're a young 15-year-old girl on YouTube.
And it will have like some type of powerful, you know, live, laugh, love written down the bottle. You know, yeah. I mean,
I suppose influencing then is a marketing tool. It's a marketing expression, and you know, and that's what it is. You know, that's what it is. It's this phenomenon again, reality TV, where it's just like, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a fireman. I work in a shop.
Yeah.
I'm an influencer. What? You know, like,
so I try and avoid that conversation when people go, "What do you do for a living?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm self-employed."
Yeah,
and they're like, "Oh, what kind of stuff do you do?" And I'm like, I and then I've tried the whole I'm an author, but then to be honest with you, that then makes you sound like a massive wang as well. So I was like, no, I can't use the word no influencer. Author sounds a bit cocky as well, so we're going to scrap that one off. What do you do? Oh, I get my tits out and I just put it across the internet and get paid for it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Passionately about female rights, and I get posts taken down all the time because I talk about stuff I shouldn't be talking about. Like, that's my job.
Some people would call themselves activists.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you are.
Well, I am an activist. Yeah. So maybe that's what I am.
Well, that makes you think you're strapping yourself to railings.
Strapping herself to bloody railings.
To be honest with you, I'm so passionate. I really am. Like, I cannot tell you how passionate I am about females' voices being muted across social media, accounts being removed when women that are unfiltered, that don't look maybe as beautiful, that have got their pubic hair out, that have got hairy armpits.
Ugh, yeah.
That they're being removed. Because I know that I'm having stuff that I upload removed.
Are
because
you?
It's, yes, all the time.
And what's the process, Laura, of a post being, could you give an example of when a post has been removed and what you think has happened to make that be the case?
I think the vast majority of it is that it's been removed because it's been reported so many times.
Right.
And, you know, that's me surmising. I have absolutely no idea. But the hypocritical side of social media that I just find so infuriating, which is the thing that I would strap my railings to, I would strap myself to the railings completely stark naked with a massive sign around my neck, is that women of every shape and size, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what voice you have. If you are not Kim Kardashian, you are still allowed to post on social media what your body looks like. And it's infuriating because Kim can do what she likes. And, you know, I'm using Kim as a prime example, but there are accounts that I have screenshot as perfect examples of how hypocritical social media is. And what is being uploaded is as close to porn as you could possibly find. Mm. It is highly sexual. It's so provocative. And that's okay because it is airbrushed. You can't see any pubic hair. It looks filtered and, you know, what you would consider perfect. And yet, if I were to wear something where my pubic hair is showing, it will get removed and it will be considered sexually explicit. And I find that, and it's the same with Facebook as well. You know, I've got 1.2 million followers on Facebook and the same kind of thing happens that it will get taken down. But I do feel like Facebook is a lot more filtered, I think, than...
Right.
Instagram. But my husband the other day said, oh, I was on my lunch break and you had that post taken down of you because, you know, you had your pubic hair like out a little bit of your pants. And he said, I was eating my lunch and there was a video of a whale and the whale just explodes everywhere because it's dead. And he's like, how's that allowed on there? And I'm like, thanks for actually using the example of a dead whale. I really appreciate your input there, Steve. Like, that makes me feel so great about myself. But it's true. It's so true. That's the reality of it, is we are so heavily filtered and we don't even realise it by social media.
Yeah, it does.
It's, and there are so many things out there that are incredibly triggering as well.
Mm.
But you know, and the this is where that whole freedom of speech thing kind of comes in as well with social media, of like, trolls can have multiple accounts. There is no real accountability to somebody who can actually completely annihilate someone's life. They do. They ruin people emotionally, financially, purely based on, if you were to look at it from a psychological sense, I do genuinely think it comes down to jealousy and insecurity as well, because they aren't achieving what they maybe wanted to achieve. I don't know. I can't understand the psyche of it. But that is allowed because there is no real protection put in for anyone. And I'm not just talking about someone like me who's got a big account. I'm talking about small accounts, tiny accounts.
Right.
And I know somebody who is living with terminal cancer, and she has three small children, and she's doing everything to stay alive for her kids. She's going through treatment after treatment. She's still continuing to work. She's an absolute hero. And she took her account down, and she made her own private personal one because she's been trolled so badly and people saying some of the most horrific things to her. She's what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What is actually wrong with you?
Yeah.
I just can't fathom it. That blows my mind on every level.
So you believe that that people, there should be some accountability. So some kind of, it's been suggested that a national insurance number or something, it needs to be verified.
And social media, don't get me wrong, is marginally better in that they are trying to protect people more, which I've seen on Instagram. So you can hide words that you might find upsetting that will just automatically be hidden. Mm. And there are some things, but in my opinion, not enough. Not enough is put in place to protect people from social media, because we're all on it. Kids are on it. Adults are on it. Yeah. But everybody's on it. And it is a, oh God, I'm really getting on my soapbox now, aren't I?
Get on it.
Right down,
get
on Laura. It. Just calm down.
No, but it,
simmer it up.
We were talking again just before you came on that we were like, who are these people that DM you and say, you know, you're not a very good mum or whatever? And
I would love to meet the size of their balls if you were to meet them in real life, because I can assure you their balls are probably quite minuscule in real life. And the worst thing is we will all be in contact with them in some description, because I really do genuinely believe that there are so many people that hide behind their fake accounts, and it gives them a sense of power that they don't have in their real life. So that's how they're trying to take that power back.
Yeah, I mean,
I do genuinely believe that they are, they're even down to the person that, you know, does your food in Asda, that like the checkout, or someone that you ask at customer services. We will all encounter these people who feel that they are, you know, the warriors of the internet.
Everyone's just, we were saying, like, where did they used to be, you know, before the internet? Like, who are these? Just the nosy neighbors? Are they
100%?
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. It's like a meet-up with your favourite non-judgy mum mates.
I remember reading a post a couple of years ago where somebody was talking about the comments sections on news articles. And it's just like, there is no need at all to have comment sections on news articles, apart from to monetize, right? Clicks and advertising and page impressions and all that sort of stuff. Like, that is the only reason.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have, I mean, apart from, like, you know, a phone in on going live, there's no feedback.
I was going to say, get your tits out.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're fat.
It's like the proper, really sort of immature, almost boyish remarks that are so, you know, they are almost laughable. You just think, oh, you're an adult, and you go out into society and you do like people stuff, like when you're around other people, and you think that you can make this really stupid comment. I'm trying to think of something. I mean, I don't look, and I've tried my best. When I first went viral with a Spanx video, it ended up on Lad Bible, And my husband was Steve. He was like, don't look. I was like, I'm not going to. Right. I'm not going to look. And so we didn't. And I've always kind of made that conscious decision that even if I was in, you know, if I've been in the news, or not in the news, obviously, headlines tonight.
Only a matter of time.
but like if I've ever been in the Daily Mail or anything like that, I just don't look, because it's
right.
Sometimes you do have to take that kind of ethos of it's none of my business. It's none of my business to have to try and understand them.
People think,
but you're allowed to, you know, in the olden days in the theatre world, it used to be, you know, like, oh, don't look at reviews.
And that's the thing.
And I've been at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and I have, you know, my peers that are much bigger profile than me, and there's me like wanting to get my reviews, like, and they're just like, no, we're not allowed to have any papers in the house, no review, like not even a paper can enter in case they're in. They just, I don't want to look at it until the end of the run, because it just, the same thing, it affects their work when they're doing the show, and same for you, you know, your mental state every day.
Ricky Gervais
tweeted a few months ago saying feedback on Twitter is the equivalent of putting a notice in the town square saying guitar lessons, you know, guitar lessons available, and someone going, I don't want guitar lessons.
But you pick off the number.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it.
How dare you? Yeah. That is it.
How dare you? People are just so... I do believe it. First and foremost, I should say, I do feel sorry for these people. And that's what you have to kind of try and tell yourself when, if you do catch a glimpse and it's like, don't read anymore. But I do feel sorry for people. But I do think there is an element of jealousy, which comes from anger, and that these...
Yeah, they need therapy. That's all right. Go get yourself some therapy, babe. Hey, you know, and hilariously, these people, they will hate everything we do, and yet they'll be so absorbed by it, they won't know how to step away from it.
Yes!
And that says a lot. Like, I, you know, having come back from quite a large break of social media from like February through to April, I think it was, which is the biggest break I've ever had since starting Knee Deep in Life, which was 4 years ago.
4 years.
Yeah, I realised that I 100,000,000% didn't want to go back to what I had. So making sure, and Facebook, you can't filter it because it's just ad after ad after ad. You know, you go on your own personal profile and you've spoken about, I don't know, a scarecrow to your husband outside, and then all of a sudden you've got scarecrows coming up on your Wish ad.
Oh, God.
You know, it's like they're always listening. But your Instagram, I've unfollowed loads of people that I thought I needed to follow, like big famous people. Like, Reese Witherspoon is on social media and she's posting stuff, you know? And then I just think, who cares?
Why unfollow though, Laura? So what is it? Is it because it's not adding anything? It's taken away from your Instagram experience?
It takes away what I need to take from social media. And love Reese, she's banging, do you know what I mean? Like, and well done you, you're amazing, you're successful, and I love seeing women in business, and she's making a success of so many things. She's got a production company, blah 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 blah. Oh, look, the list goes on. But the reality is what she uploads is her brand, and her brand is Reese Witherspoon, and Reese Witherspoon is this really smiley, wonderful person that doesn't really often talk about reality, and that's fine because that is her level of perfection. She doesn't want to turn around and go, I've had a really bad day today, because she can't, and that's her putting her boundaries in place, and I respect that. But from a personal level, it brings me nothing.
Right.
So I've unfollowed so many people, and I've started following like positive affirmations. Like, that's been a huge thing in my healing process of like really changing my inner thought process. You know, I'm not Chandler, but you know, it's not Matt LeBlanc, is it? Who's the other? It's Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Friends reunion?
No.
Well, I'll be honest with you, there were points where it was a bit car crash telly, but he said about the fact that, and you could see it as well, that he struggled so much with his anxiety, obviously with his mental health, because he was always so desperate to make people laugh. And if he didn't make them laugh, he would feel like he wasn't funny enough and blah, 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 blah. And I resonated with that to the point where when you're posting something, you want people to find it funny and yeah. you want people to relate to it and you want, and then when you feel like it's not hit the mark, you then punish yourself because you're like, oh, I'm not good enough and I'm not this and I'm not that.
Totally relate.
And like really reversing like that thought process of being like, actually, no, you know what? If I don't change how I'm thinking in my own mind, I'm never, doesn't matter whether I get 40 million followers, I am never going to get to that point where I feel like I've made it, because I have made it and yet I'm still not celebrating the fact that I've made it because I'm still feeling like I've got more work to do. Like, I'm just not good enough.
Feel like you're not good enough.
There's two things that I'd want to pick up on. First is, I remember speaking to a guy in the kind of the early days of Twitter, maybe 2010 or something. He was a comedian, and he was part of the Twitterati, the cool left, you know, of yeah. Twitter. And I met him. I said, "Oh, I love you. Like, you're one of my favourite people on Twitter." And he said, "You know what? It's the bane of my life," because he would spend all day.
Yeah.
Trying to think of that one tweet that he yeah. can write that will keep him relevant and keep him
and
cool.
Current.
And it had taken over his life, and his wife was going mad about it, you know, because it's like, you're supposed to be writing, you're supposed to be, like, you know, earning money. Yeah. So that's the first thing, just think, God, what a shame. It kind of takes away from kind of the joy for me of being able to enjoy someone's talent and skills.
Oh, yeah, the other thing, veiled behind the curtain.
It's
Instagram as a marketing tool, and this is what I was saying to Hattie a few weeks ago. Is that so? Take Reese Witherspoon for example. She needs to keep up,
yeah.
that brand, and yeah. so yeah. and so it is this. You know, anybody, Sainsbury's aren't going to show you the grapes squashed at the bottom of the basket, are they?
No.
Ones. And so
I love that analogy. That's spot on.
Here's a McDonald's burger. You know, And so for me, I see every single Instagram post as an advert of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay.
And what you said to me, Gemma, you did think because I was having a little bit of a breakout, still kind of am. And I said, I've done the same as you, Laura. I've unfollowed a lot of people that I realised was just making me feel bad. And some of them even sort of comedy friends that I love, and I love what they do, but I felt like I had to follow them, but they were triggering something in me. And
I've got this script, I'm doing this pilot. I'm doing this pilot, I'm doing this gig. They're just advertising themselves. That's what they're doing.
It's a big advert. And I was like, I know, but when you're low, it just
comes
to that voice that's going, your shit. And use Laura saying about the pressure to be funny, obviously, as you know, I kind of don't like, you know, I've done panel show things before on TV, and I was like, I wish I didn't have to be labeled as the comedian, because it's like, I know I'm naturally funny, but that's really hard for me to say, but when you're labeled like that, it's like the pressure then makes me not be funny. And so I have the same thing with Instagram, where sometimes I want to put up something and I'm like, it doesn't have to be hilariously funny all the time. Sarah Silverman's a great example. I love her. And if you follow her on Instagram, it's not funny a lot of the time, but it's insightful and it's nourishing and great. And
I think that's what you need from social media. It's, you do need the nourishment, however that comes. And I think that's like a really good word to use. You have to be nourished by.
I love that word.
Yes,
it is. Isn't, you know, we always, you know, healthy mind, healthy body. I'm going to do some yoga and I'm going to find my chakras, and it's all of that, but it's not all of that, because unless you are treating the inside, and it is the mind, which is so powerful, if you're not treating that with the level of kindness that you would treat somebody else, then you're almost wasting your job as a human being to yourself. You know, you're throwing away your life because you're chained to the idea of what other people are expecting you to be. And like what you said, Hattie, which is like absolutely bang on the money, I've always been like, oh, I can't upload that because no, you know, like, that's not what I do. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to know about this. So, and like my haircut, for instance, having all my hair cut off last week, and I was like, wrote the post out, and I thought, I can't actually post this because nobody is going to care about a haircut. And then I thought, Laura, just do it, because it doesn't matter. If it encourages one person to go, you know what, I'm going to cut the fringe in, I'm going to take the fringe out, I'm just going to do something, because she's been through something this year and then she's decided to just go for it. And the response was just insane.
Yeah.
From my haircut.
But people would
like it weird though. Wouldn't it be weird if like you turn up in your next video, it's like, why is her hair different?
Yeah, because the video that this is the thing, my hair will chop and change from video to post, because obviously it's either before I got my hair cut off or it's after I got my hair cut off.
But I have the same thing, but it's amazing. People do just like looking into your life, and not in a sort of creepy way. It probably brings comfort to some people. And I know somebody said to me a little while ago, they said, oh, I loved it when you were putting up. So last year in lockdown, I don't even know where it come from. But that's the thing. Don't think about it. Just post it wherever. I was in a Northern Soul, because I love Northern Soul, track, dancing to it every day. And so I'd just be me or with the kids. I'm not like the greatest dancer. Well, I'm not bad. But
you'd be better than me.
It was just that I needed it for my mental state, like what is going on. So every day I knew I was going to dance to a track. And someone said to me, oh, do you know what? I used to love them. Like it was just, and she's not married, not got any kids, but she was like, I just love looking into the chaos of your life. And I was like so touched that like it brought a bit of fun or comfort or whatever to somebody. And I was like, oh, and I sort of stopped doing them because I think I had a moment where I was like, oh, no one really cares. But yeah. But someone.
And I think we overthink it.
Yes.
We overthink because we worry about numbers and comments, which is like the most superficial thing we could ever care about. You know, like I've said before in a post, when I go to Lidl and I get my food shop, I'm not saying to the woman at the checkout, like, I've got 1.7 million followers across Instagram and Facebook. Like she's going to write, that's great, that's £27, now go away. You know, like nobody should really care about that. And yet I know there are some circles, luckily I've not been in them, but I do know of them, where you greet the other person with how many followers you have. And that is the reality of the life that some people are living. And I find that just tragic, troubling, toxic. There are lots of teas to go with all of that, you know, lots of teas. There's another one that also ends with the word at, but we won't put the W into that and turn it into a word. You're spot on. I think we should stop posting for other people on social media, and we should just post what we want.
And it applies to everything. You know, somebody who comes from a drama background, stuff like that, and friends that are musicians and friends that are all sort of arty things.
Do you know famous people? I don't know why, but I find that. Do you?
Yeah. Not any, like, that I used to hang about with lots, but not really.
Like who? Give me a name. I'd love a name.
Would you?
Just purely because I'm nosy. I just love other people's lives. I love to ask
first
questions.
First person that's come with my Keith Lemon. Is that
famous? Really?
Not anymore, but I used to go out with a good friend of his. So we used to go around to his and have parties, and Baby Spice was there. How do you like relaxing, Laura?
This year I've learned lots of things about what I like to do, which I've never done before. As a mum, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? You very quickly become the person that just grabs like half a baby bell that's been in someone else's mouth and, you know, a random bit of cucumber that you found on the floor. So I found it very difficult to know what I'm meant to do and who I'm meant to be. But I do quite like, also thanks to Vic, I do quite like a bit of interior design. She's inspired me with a bit of interior. So I'm really into that now. And I think just like decorative style stuff, planning, you know, who doesn't love a good plan?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think
I would say exercise, but I don't exercise.
See, Instagram is lovely for that sort of stuff. The crafts that, you know, like Pinterest is as well. But I follow Furrow and Ball, which I absolutely love, and I don't but I know it's advertising. And so I'm just like, oh, I'm just really enjoying these images. It's really nice. I'm not kind of like, why can't I afford that? Because like, I can't afford it. So that's it, you know.
Because farro and ball is just insanely expensive. So that's just the way it is. You know, if I want to get a tin of farro and ball, it will cover one wall and the rest of the house will have to go without.
Exactly. Just get Wilco's,
I will show you after I've stopped recording my little workshop that I've built, because I've been so depressed about the fact that like we have no outhouse or shed or anything, and then I just thought, stop moaning about it and just find a way. So I built like with a gazebo in the garden, because
I love that.
I just need somewhere to dry it, the stuff. And I've again had this set of drawers here for about 5 years that I've been saying I'm going to upholster, and it's like, just do it, stop making excuses, woman. And so I've been inspired by Vic as well, and some other people that I follow on Instagram. That my porn now is watching people make over a set of drawers with some new handles. Knobs.
So I've had the same as you. So I've had some units in my house that have just been the same color just cause forever.
Yeah.
And a lot of my house is gray. It's like this kind of gray or a lighter color gray. And I said to Vic, I was like, I want some like bright colors, because I hate that it basically looks like the house from Beetlejuice. I don't know if you've ever watched Beetlejuice to know what I'm talking about. So, and she helped me find the colors, and I've upcycled like all of the units and put new door handles on and painted my front door, because UPVC doors are so expensive to replace, and just given everything a bit of a new lease of life. And like my husband, he's like, but you know, why are you painting it? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm like, I know, but it's fun. Like, I know how you could possibly ever begin to imagine this, but it's fun. Mm. I just want to do it because I enjoy it.
And that, coming back to what we do on Instagram, and whether you're a singer or an artist, whatever, do it because you love it. It's a cliche.
But spark joy. Does it spark joy? No. Then that's part of it. Just like,
Yeah, whether you're Reese Witherspoon or whether you're not. And it's poor old Reese. I mean, I've really picked on her. I don't mean to. Love her. She's an absolute babe and I think she's amazing. But
I tell you something, I got onto a little while ago. I haven't done it for a while. And it's that it's a bit ASMR-ish, which is extreme car valeting.
What?
So
what?
People clean their car out.
So someone will bring their disgusting people carrier that's just had like 15 years of children eating peanuts and whatever.
That's pretty much.
And then a guy cleans it. It's just about 12-15 minute video. Oh, the transition from it just being like my car, just absolutely disgusting, to like it's brand new off the forecourt. Bloody love it.
I mean, my car once I had left a banana in the, you know, the back pocket of like the passenger seat. I'd left a banana
never,
because it just disappears like the black hole of some type of other universe. And I pulled it out and it wasn't soft. It wasn't, it was like a boomerang. It was a solid black thing that had just crustated into the back of my car, and that sums up how much I care about my car. But if I would love to have the satisfaction of, it's almost like watching a blackhead popping video, isn't it?
It's exactly the same, yeah. Or earwax extraction.
My poor husband.
You know when they do like the Virgin Experience days and you can have like a spa day? I'm not even kidding you. If there was like a experience day for being a dermatologist, I would be all over that. I would buy 4 or 5 of them for myself.
Laura, you say you don't watch a lot of terrestrial TV, but on, I think it's on E4, there is some, I can't remember what it's called, because I saw it, you know, when you see it advertised and I went, I need to watch that program. And it's basically about people who have different skin things, but it's basically where they have like, I've got this massive thing growing on my arm, and then they've got to squeeze it out. And it's like beautiful.
So it's like Embarrassing Bodies, but skin.
Kind of, but it's like real
skin
doctor.
Special.
It's real doctor, skin something. On that note.
What a beautiful night.
Just quickly give us, if we gave you a free babysitting night, so we'll take the kids off you, And you don't have to, you could even say all night, so you can lay in. Where would you go? Who would you go with? What are you eating? What are you drinking?
Can I get a private plane, or does it have to be somewhere in the UK?
You can go wherever you want, as long as it's not make-believe. We have had people...
Like Narnia.
Yeah, we have had people say, I want to go on a unicorn.
I would take Steve, because equally he's as stressed out as I am, probably with parenting and working. I would take Steve. I would get on a private plane. I would go, because you're having them overnight, I'm not having it just for a couple of hours. Yeah. And I'd go to Paris, because that's going to take, an hour to get there?
Yeah.
And then we're going to go up the Eiffel Tower, because that won't take that long. We'll have a little mooch around there, come back down, go have dinner, stay in a Holiday Inn if I have to, stay overnight, and then catch a private jet back the next day and collect my kids by about 11, I think, probably.
What food are you eating? What's your favourite?
Steak is my favourite. I'm a massive red meat eater, which is a huge issue.
Oh my god! Once again, you and Gemma. Gemma's ideal
diet. I like mine rare. How do you like yours?
Oh, I'm medium. I'm medium rare.
You're medium rare. What about you, Hattie?
I'm vegetarian.
You're not.
So I like mine alive.
Yeah, okay. You like yours in a field. Okay, sure. There would be no sex. I have no interest in having any form of sex that night when we were in Paris. It would just purely be to go somewhere really nice, eat food and sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, having been somebody who did go to Paris, not by private jet and wasn't like that, for like one of our first trips away, when, you know, like you leave the kid, I left when we had just the one with my sister. And the thing that was, I was just too tired to enjoy it, really.
Yeah.
So you'd need two nights, I think. Night of sleep.
Yeah, I agree. You definitely need two nights. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Laura, I could just keep talking and talking to you. But we gotta get back to our lives. So is there anything you'd like to promote? This is a good opportunity. I mean, I said it in the intro, I guess, but your book, you got your book.
Yeah, so my book came out last August. So it was over a year ago now, actually, that came out. So don't worry about that now, it's old news. I think the only thing that I would love to promote is our podcast. No Holds Barred is one of my greatest loves, because I met Vic kind of haphazardly through social media, and she's become one of my greatest friends. Aww. So it's a labour of love between the two of us that we've kind of fallen into, and we've had lots of downs, which I'm sure you're aware of when you do podcasts. Mm-hmm. And we've had lots of moments where we're like, actually, I don't think we're going to be able to carry this on for much longer, because it's financially, it is ruining us. But yeah, it's just everything.
Yeah, Vic came to me with like, do you know any editors and all this kind of stuff? Yeah. And she's like, could I just do it myself? And yeah, there's a lot of people don't know, there's a lot of work that goes into this. I think
there is a lot of work, but then I think that's just the whole illusion of social media as well, isn't it? Is that it's just this real like, oh, I'm just going to drop in and drop out idea, but it's like, actually it does take a little bit more work and a little bit more thought and time than that, and money
but we love it. Yeah. We love it. All right, well,
I do love
it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, it's been really lovely, and I will
Gemma, do you have anything you want to flash up?
No
I do, but I can't remember the day. I'm doing a work in progress show for the class.
Oh yeah,
Fringe. Yeah, but I can't remember the date. So
what Fringe? Sorry, I talked over you.
Clapham Fringe. You know, the famous Clapham Fringe. Yeah. There you go. Thanks everyone for listening. Please keep listening and sharing.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.